Welcome back and welcome to the Louis Bellina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. It is our final hour together on a Monday. We are going to hit the college football notebook shortly. We are going to also do a listen-in post-loss last night to Stanford, Coach Schloss, and some select players. You know, in hour one, 11:35, we did it after the win so we could kind of compare and contrast. It is Monday, so I'm accepting your keys too, thanks to Griffin Locksmith. It's a key to beating Stanford tonight. What is your key to? Troy and Brian, his key to beating Stanford is don't lose. I don't understand the point and why you would waste time texting that. I really don't. The key is to not lose. Like, really? Don't lose? That's all the effort you're going to put into it, right? That's it. Thanks for playing. 979-693-1150. 979-693-1150. Don't lose is the key. If it's a joke, ha ha hee hee. That's the best you got. Wow. Put down the phone. 979-693-1150. You know, we're going to have to start our final hour on a bit of a tense and tight note. But I got to share this with you. I got an email. It was this morning, matter of fact. I got an email and it read, Louis, that's me. Your show Friday made reference to someone complaining. You trash A&M. I've listened to your show for a long time. I won't reveal his name, but he has listened to my show a long time. And he said, I've listened to your show for a long time, and I've never once heard you trash A&M. If that accurately characterized your show, I would not listen to it. Further, if I wanted to listen to a pep rally, I would not listen to you. So, and he said, you have my permission to quote me if you wish. So thank you for the email. And, you know, the reason I share the email is, again, I share text messages, emails, the things that I get sent here. But I kind of really loved it because it reflected the balance that I hope I'm critical, analytical, which is both positive and negative. It's just actually saying what you see versus having an agenda or having a limited, i.e. one-sided point of view. And from what he said, if I trashed, he wouldn't listen. And if it was pep rally time, he wouldn't be here either. So I think I'm achieving my goals in life. I don't know. I think I am. Let me share with you a factoid, if I could. This is a great factoid, matter of fact. Trey and Brian said, sorry, Lou. No, man, you gave me three keys. You don't got to apologize. Everyone does that all the time. I actually dig the heck out of that. I get amused. People do that fairly consistently. Text message. Don't worry, we'll do a text message sweep. People are on a roll right now. I love it to death. But let me share a factoid with you. So Babe Ruth was the Sultan of SWAT, the home run legend king. In his first six MLB seasons for Babe Ruth, by the way, 391 games, he had 49 homers, 224 RBIs. 391 games, 224 RBIs. So Barry Bonds, in his first three seasons, had 65 homers and 165 RBIs. Babe Ruth, first six, had 49 homers. Bonds had 65 home runs in his first three seasons. Mike Trout, in his first four seasons, had 98 home runs. There's a guy. Hi. There's a guy. His name is Yordan Alvarez. And in his first five seasons, 110 home runs. If you wanted a historical feel, perspective, insight into how good Yordan Alvarez is, he's ahead of that home run pace of Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, and Mike Trout. Now, Yordan's entire story will be written by his doctor. It will always be about his injury history. He's frequently injured. Had been. How long of a career will he have or not have? Right? That's his story. But yeah, Babe Ruth, first six seasons, had 49 home runs, 391 games. Now remember, Yordan has more games in five because of all the Astros postseasons and different schedules. There's a lot into it, but Yordan has 110 homers in five seasons. He's on pace. He is fun to watch too. When he hit, was it? Oh yeah, the walk-off game one White Sox last year, and then the Astros never looked back. That was electric. That was like tingly. That was like going down your spine, tingly what he did. That blew my mind. Okay. Oh, that was emailed to me also by the hipster emailed it to me. I have a lot of listeners email me a lot of stuff. I always say I enjoy the interaction and participation. And if you ever want to email me, Louie@BryanBroadcasting.com. L-O-U-I-E, Louie@BryanBroadcasting.com. Ooh, more text messages. Jess said, and it's Jess from College Station, we need to get 4 to 5 innings from Detmer. This is a presumption that he's starting. Yeah, it is. Detmer goes at least 3 1/3. Need 10 outs from your starter, at least is in all caps. Anonymous, key to beating Stanford is to hit the bleep ball in more than one inning. Yeah, I've personally talked about that with the A&M offense, that it was the most troubling thing, that even in Hoover, which was the greatest week of the year for the Aggies, they basically scored almost 90% of the runs in one inning, even in Hoover. This offense can't go back-to-back doubles. They can't hit, steal a base. You know, they don't, not a lot of one. And the ones are how you get cushion. The ones are how you put pressure on the other team. And Aggie baseball doesn't do that a lot. They do 4-4-4, which works too, generally. And another anonymous said, oh, Adam. He just hadn't had his name entered yet. Adam from College Station. No free passes for base runners. And get higher when runner. Oh, hits. You just spelt wrong or auto-corrected. When runners are in scoring position. So some of the keys, too. Thanks to Griffin Locksmith, you might win a $50 gift card to Rudy's Barbecue for sharing your key to victory tonight over Stanford. Griffin Locksmith, where they offer 24-hour emergency service. I keep sharing my key too. Key to victory. Four pitchers. Garcia, Sedeo, Ashenbeck, and Detmer. Four of them have to equal 9 innings. I do not want to see another pitcher. And it needs to be 4 runs or less in 9 innings. Because if the offense can't put up 5 or more, I think the rest of it, you know, it doesn't matter at that point. So that's my key too. 4 pitchers, 9 innings, 4 or less. We'll take a quick timeout, come back. I want to hit the college football notebook. Not a lot that'll change your life, but some things you might want to know, some things you should be interested in. This is the Louie Belina Show. Still Monday. From inside the Charles Schwab Studio. The Louie Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. 2 remarkable businesses. 1, great family. Currently, Women's College World Series, Oklahoma City. You know I'm a huge softball junkie, and I do mean huge softball junkie, like addicted. Always have been. I mean, I was the PA guy at Aggie Softball, six to eight years. Don't remember how many. Did the play-by-play for Aggie Softball 21 to 22 years, something like that. And I love all softball. Currently, Oklahoma. Oklahoma has lost one game all year, and they've won 50 straight. That all-time records. Most consecutive wins in a season, all-time record. They've had the most shutouts in program history. They're looking for like their third straight national championship. Them and Stanford are tied at two in the top of the seventh. And this game is actually just like probably the best college softball game of the year. It's so intense. It's nuts. It's awesome. And we're at the point now where this is the semifinals of the Women's College World Series. OU, they're hard to like when it comes to softball. They're obnoxious. They're over the top. They're annoying. They're awful. They are just absolutely awful. So they're so dramatic. 3-0 called strike, and the pitcher steps out and stands there and intensely stares and says, okay, enough. That's not why you're hanging out with me, but still, it's just nuts. Again, they won 50 straight, and they're currently tied. OU batting top of the seventh, two on, two outs. And oh, yeah. And it's in Oklahoma City. So every year, Oklahoma gets to play home games in the College World Series every year. Doesn't quite add up. College football notebook. Some things I wanted to share with you. It appears that in August, we'll get another Netflix documentary. This one's going to be on the Florida Gators. It's going to cover 2006 through 2009. Many consider it the glory days. Go ahead, Bruce, sing it. Glory days of the Florida Gators program. If you remember, 2006, they win the national championship. 2007, Tim Tebow becomes the starting quarterback and wins the Heisman Trophy. They then win the national championship. 2009 is a very fascinating year. They had the unbeaten regular season. They lose, the championship game. But they don't just lose it. All these legal things pop up. Alabama ends up winning it, and it's considered the end of Florida's dynasty, the beginning of Bama's. But a lot of insight into Urban Meyer and character. Remember star defensive end, what's his name, Carlos Dunlap, got arrested just ahead of the championship game. He suspended. Saban dynasty began with the fall of the Florida dynasty. So the Netflix documentary is called Swamp Kings. And it's going to cover year by year everything. And the story is the rise and fall of a dynasty. So you remember that team, that period, right? So you had Dunlap. You had Aaron Hernandez, who got convicted in the murder of Odin Lloyd. Safety Tony Joyner had to reach a plea deal charged with the murder of his wife. They had talent. Pouncey, Percy Harvin, Jeff Demps, and more. So there's a lot of prime real estate for a documentary. The national championship, the rise of Tebow, a second championship, thug life, and the rise of Saban. All in one documentary. Sign me up. I'll watch it. Even though I don't know when. I think I've shared this before, so I hope I don't bore you to death. But only turn Netflix on for 2 months out of the year. That's it. 2 months out of the year, because Netflix is not what it used to be, but they sure charge money like they're better than they used to be, and they're not. So I leave it off for 10 months, turn it on for 2 months, and that's my cycle with them. Moving on, the Big 12, I think it was Thursday, Friday of last week, had their kind of league meetings, and they've made it clear they're expanding. They're not hiding it. it was their topic of discussion, was plans A, B, and C. They're going to do a lot of innovative stuff. They've already introduced and are going to implement innovative stuff, and that's no different in expansion. They have no problem with basketball only, baseball only, football only, and they don't only look at schools that want to be only. They are open to all kinds of. There is talk that they're going to take UConn and Gonzaga as basketball only. They are very aware that basketball is the inventory that makes you money. But they have no problem, because what if they got to add some football schools that maybe don't have a basketball program, or their basketball programs are junk? They're going to be okay with it. They believe in only. And yes, they want the Pac-12 schools. Matter of fact, a source told ESPN that UConn and Gonzaga were certainly talked about in the meetings, which were held at the posh Greenbrier Resort. But the presidents and chancellors are in a holding pattern until the Pac-12 announces its TV deal. So that's where the Big 12 is at. First find out the resolution of the Pac-12, then they'll expand. In the end, your MAC kind of wants to be in every time zone. I remember, and anyone can help me, I got many years and beers under my belt. Was it the AAC? That wanted to be national, one of the group of fives. It was one of the group of fives that wanted to be national, thinking it would give them value above all the other group of fives, was to be in all four time zones. And what they found out is, no, you're a group of five. No one cares. And on top of that, the cost that it drove up for a non-power five to try and play that schedule in every other sport outweighed the gains that weren't really there. I remember that. They wanted to be national conference is what Yermak said Friday when he spoke with the press. Brett Yermak, Big 12 commissioner. College football notebook recruiting. Alabama got a 2025 running back commitment, Anthony Rogers. I've seen him listed as the number one running back in the class. I've seen him number 39 overall in the 2025 ESPN 300. Alabama, you remember when they had to go get Jahmyr Gibbs from G-Tech, right? Hell of a portal transfer kid they picked up. But Saban, I think, never wants to ever have to go get a running back in the portal. I'll bet you that as the head coach at Alabama, he was embarrassed. He needed a portal running back of all things. He took in 23 the top two rated running backs, and it looks like in 25, the number one rated running back is coming in too for Alabama. You got to appreciate the course corrections for Nick Saban. I had to portal running back. Never again. I'm taking the number one running back every year. Anthony Rogers, number one running back in the class of 2025, had Georgia, Florida, Auburn, and Oregon as his other, in the final five, along with Alabama, who he committed with. KJ Lacy, he is a top quarterback, number 47, period, in the 2025 class. Number 47, period. He's a quarterback, KJ Lacy. He's actually out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He's going to be a midterm kid. He plans to enroll in January of 2025. Committed to Texas? He had an offer from Bama right there. Tennessee, Notre Dame, Florida State, Texas A&M. Committed to Texas. He's even got one of his high school teammates who's at Alabama. Doesn't matter. Committed, I just said, to Texas. So Sark, he might not be able to coach at all, but he can recruit quarterbacks. Ole Miss continues on the transfer train. They picked up the top wide receiver target in Zachary Franklin, the UTSA kid. two-time all-conference player at UTSA. He's going to Ole Miss. Announced it Saturday on social media. UTSA's all-time leading receiver. A lot of people were shocked when he hit the portal. Ole Miss has been active in the portal. Two transfer quarterbacks, including Spencer Sanders, first team All-Big 12 selection. LSU's Walker Howard, a top 50 national recruit in the 2022 cycle. And Ole Miss continues along. That was a big get for them. College football notebook. 247 Sports was kind of doing expectations, predictions, each team for the upcoming season. But not the main.
Oh, what their record?
No, a little bigger than that, actually. Different direction. They just said something fascinating. Quote, here's a bold prediction for the Aggies this season. Moose Muhammad II's production numbers this fall could be better than teammates and former five-star Evan Stewart. He's the best wideout you've never heard of, team sources in College Station told 247 Sports. You buy or sell that one? What do you think? You buy or sell that one? I find myself completely and utterly fascinated by that. Can Moose and Muhammad production numbers? So production number wide receiver, total yards, is it yards per catch, touchdowns, no other number counts? That's where I got lost, just so you'll know. Because when we talk about production, if you give me 1,000 yards with one touchdown, that's a lot of yards. I guess that's production, but you know. But I got a guy who's got 600 yards and 14 touchdowns. That's productive to me. And again, the bold prediction that Moose will be more productive than ever, Evan Stewart. I hope that we have to debate which one was more productive, not why weren't they all more productive. Let us enjoy a healthy debate of who is more awesome. That would be a lot of fun. That's something we don't get to do often on the Louie Belina Show, is debate who's more awesome. Like I said, I welcome that conversation. When we return, up next, here on the Louie Belina Show from inside the Charles Schwab studio, we're going to do a listen-in. Coach Slosh last night after the loss to Stanford will share his thoughts. Yeah, I'll be right back. Trust me, I'm not going anywhere yet. I think I've shared this before. I know I have, but I have met Van Halen 4 times over the long, long years of my concert-going existence. But I've met 3 Van Hagars and 1 Van Sharone over the years. Each one being unique from the other based upon which Van Halen member was barely able to walk. Because they partied like rock stars, and their body suffered the damage like rock stars too. But I've met them like 4 times, backstage meet and greet kind of thing. I've never claimed they're great personal friends of mine. I'm just saying I got to meet them 4 times. The Van Sharone one, if I'm not mistaken, I know it was Houston, but it was like their first date of the Van Sharone era. Van Halen picked up Gary Sharone of Mr. Big. I'm the one that wants to be with you. Oh. And backstage, go to shake the hand, and it's a limp hand. And by the end of it, I was almost in tears because I'm like, this is not Van Halen. This isn't. To be Van Halen, you have to live rock and roll. You can't just play like a cover band. But it's okay. You can still listen to Van Roth if you want to know what rock and Van Hagar, what rock and roll was always meant to be. Time now, a listen in as promised. Coach Slosh, select players after the loss last night to Stanford. Let us, Slosh and Brett Minich, matter of fact, meet with the media. Let's listen in right now. here on the Louis Belina Show.
From Texas A&M, we're joined by head coach Jim Schlossnagel, and our student athlete is Brett Minnick. Coach, will you open up with the statement?
Yeah, congratulations to Stanford. Awesome day of baseball for them to win a close game like they did against Fullerton. And then, you know, we responded in the first inning. But then, obviously, from a pitching staff standpoint, I thought Cortez did an okay job of keeping us in the game. But the game obviously just got away from us real quick in the seventh inning. So we're still in the exact same spot we were when the day started. We got to win one game to advance our season. So now Stanford's in the same spot. So should be a good ball game tomorrow.
Brett, how are you feeling, especially lower body, and what does it mean to you to be able to make an impact and kind of have the season come down to a game like this?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Just good to be out there. No one's 100% this time of year, so you just got to play through some things. It's just good to help the team, but at the end of the day, you look for W's in the win column. So we didn't do that today. We'll get back at it tomorrow.
Jim, it seems like you've probably been in this situation on both sides a million times. What is it that you would normally say, or what is it, what your normally your goal is to, in the situation we're in now, where you come off the losing night, to get that back for tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, the first time I ever was a part of a College World Series team as a head coach, we won the first game of a Super Regional and lost the second one 14-1. So I remember that feeling well, and that's what today felt like. So that team had to win one game, and they did. This team is not a Super Regional, but it's the same thing. You got to win one game to advance your season. So I have supreme confidence in especially our older group of players, and you got to go play good baseball. You know, you can't. Stanford has a really good team, and so we're fortunate to have played one less game. Maybe that'll work to our advantage. It didn't today, but we'll find out tomorrow.
So is it Nathan tomorrow?
I don't know yet. I want to check and see how everybody feels and make a decision tomorrow.
Nathan was the guy to start out with in the SEC tournament. You came back in the championship game. Is there something he's working on, something that's...
He just needs to throw more strikes. I mean, he needs to be the Nathan Detmer that he's capable of being, ground ball pitcher normally that keeps the ball in the ballpark and throws effective off speed pitches. But you know, when he pitches, if he pitches, that's what we need.
Coach, you've seen him twice now. So what do you feel like this third time? What is going to make the difference?
We just can't get behind the count. You can't pin yourself in a corner as a pitcher against this lineup and expect you're going to throw fastballs and win the game. I mean, the guys that have had, you know, effectiveness against them, or really any pitcher. I mean, ask Brett. If you can eliminate pitches and get to be a fastball-only hitter, then that makes you a lot better hitter. And then when you're already a good hitter, like, you know, these guys, Graham and Troy, and I mean, go straight through it, Montgomery, I mean, Rios. They're all the freshman. Moore had the great swings tonight. Bowser was one of the best players. We recruited him when I was at my previous school. So they have a good team, but so do we. So we just gotta play well. It's never about the best team. It's only about the team that plays the best, and they played the best today.
Are there any pitchers that are 100% out for tomorrow, or is it pretty much all hands on deck?
Yeah, I don't know that anybody probably not Will Johnston, since he's thrown twice already, but maybe Wansing probably out. But I think everybody else, that was the point of tonight, was to, you know, if we would have gotten a lead, then maybe we would have used some of those guys we used yesterday to try and win the game. But we had an advantage going into the game. We only had to win one game out of two. They had to win one out of one. And so try to, at least physically, try to use that to our advantage. We'll see if it pays off tomorrow.
Brett, I know you came back this year. You wanted to play healthy. You wanted another shot at it. How do you wrap your mind around tomorrow's game, and what does advancing Canadian's thing going mean to you?
I mean, it means the world. You just got to do what you got to do. I know Coach is going to put us in a great situation. We're going to come prepared tomorrow. And at the end of the day, it's how we play. So. This is what I came back for. This is what everyone comes to college baseball for, is these type of games. So it should be a fun one.
Coach, just talk about the seventh inning. They scored seven runs. Just kind of
What did you kind of see from that perspective? What kind of allowed them to kind of open the floodgates like they did in that one?
I don't know, buddy. What did you see? We set the table with, Cortez made a good pitch to the leadoff hit to the, was it Montgomery? Or whoever, maybe?
Yeah,
it was Montgomery. And they had an infield single, nothing we could do about it. He got 0-2 to the next guy. Pitch supposed to be off the plate. And I don't know where the pitch was, but obviously, I don't have my glasses on.
Rios.
Yeah, Rios. He's a great hitter, he's having a great season, hit the ball in the right center field gap, and then felt like Chris was at the end of his rope, had done a nice job, and then we ended up throwing a wild pitch and then or a pass ball and then hanging a breaking ball to the freshman catcher, and after that you're just chasing outs, and we didn't throw enough strikes, and then you got pinned in a corner in a 2-0 pitch to Troy, right? And then He hit one to, I don't even know where, Montana. So that's what happened.
Coach, a lot of talk back and forth about which conference is better and, how teams would do in different conferences. Top. How would Stanford's offense rank among SEC offenses?
Top. They're right there. And I told our team, they're right there with Tennessee, right there with LSU, right there with Ole Miss's offense. It's an SEC offense, And it's an SEC offense because it's, and I'm not telling you that's a better offense. You asked me the question. I'm not telling you which one's better or worse because there's other offenses other than power offenses that score runs. We have offenses in our league that don't hit homers and still put pressure on them. But in terms of how they play, it's an SEC style of play. There's not a lot of bunnies. They don't run a ton, but they're super, super physical. And if you don't make pitches, you're going to get bloodied really, really quick. I think the difference with this one compared to some of the SEC ones we faced this year is there's some plate discipline, which makes it even harder. Some of the teams that I named off to you, they're just hacking. So if you execute pitches, then you have a chance to maybe get through them. And these guys, for the most part, through the lineup, they're a pretty disciplined bunch. So they're obviously very well coached. They're older, the argument about what league is better. You can't compare that, but Stanford certainly. They're a top eight national seed, and they deserve it.
Thank you,
Brett. With the with Texas winning the Coral Gables, a little added bonus about maybe there could be a super regional back in the home state past this.
No, we got to focus on this tomorrow.
Anything else? Yeah, just final question for me. Just thoughts on the pitching performance of Nick Duke and just kind of what made him difficult today in this one for you guys.
He pitched in the first game, right? Yeah, kudos to Nick. Thought he got his changeup going. We were taking some pitches. We probably could have swung early in the count, but we were taking some pitches trying to get back in the game. It's hard to hit a grand slam with nobody on base, so just trying to get and give him credit. I think he really just got his changeup going and made some really good pitches with that. We stung some balls, but certainly, and he walked one guy, so, and they didn't make an error, so no free bases. He threw strikes, no free bases, and he got to pitch with a lead. So it's fun to pitch that way.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That wraps up our listening, Coach Slosh, Brett Minnick, after the loss to, hey, Emily, did you need to tell me something? Come on in.
Oh, no, I thought you said M, and so I was coming in.
No, Minnick. Okay. It's okay. Emily is my producer for the summer. First day is today. She opened the door, and she thought I said M. It's all good. Emily's good people. She's going to be with us. That's you and me all summer long. She's going to be out there producing at the blackjack table. But that was Brett Minnick. That was Coach Slosh after the loss last night. I hate being the bad guy, but I guess I'm so used to it at this point that why stop now? But I don't know who, but why would you ask them a question about playing Texas in the Super after they lost 13-5 and they have to play Stanford the next night? What coach or player is going to, Brett Minnick gave the money answer. We don't worry about that or care about that. That's not on our mind right now. We got a game tomorrow. He gave the answer, but what was the expected answer? Yeah, man, we don't even care about Stanford. You know, win or lose, we're so excited that Texas is in the Supers. Yeah, we can't wait to play them, and we just want Stanford to know we're overlooking them horribly. We're so excited to play Texas. I mean, time and place. That just seems so odd with the tone and everything going on. And, hey, you play Texas in the Super. And then, you know, you if you know wrestling, you know what no-sell means. And then you got coach and the player no-selling that question. I'll move on, but that was interesting. This is the Louis Molina Show from inside the Charles Schwab studio Monday. And I'll be right back.
After every hit.
Well, we're not quite running out of time. Like I said, almost, not so fast, not quite. The Louis Molina Show presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Tomorrow is Tuesday, and we're going to visit with Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan Newsletter. We're also going to have Olin Buchanan of Texags, and it'll be the mascot of the week thanks to Waggy Pet Zone. That'll all be Tuesday. That's each Tuesday pretty much. A reminder, there are no more Fridays. In June and July, I'm not here on Fridays. Sorry. Accept my apologies. I burn off my comp days, and I take three-day weekends, and I rest up and relax and recharge in June and July. So the Louis Molina Show is Monday through Thursday. Each Friday, I have a variety of guest hosts. Occasionally, it'll be ESPN Radio, but I will not be here. I do want to take just that quick moment to remind you about Smoothie King and their brand new smoothie bowls. They have two different bases you can pick from. I'm kind of like addicted to the toppings, where you can get fresh berries, ripe mangoes, crunchy granola. Me? Honey drizzle. Or maybe the savory peanut butter. That's more of my direction. Check out any, create your own brand new smoothie bowl at Smoothie King today. Before we get done, I do want to say one thing. Beat the hell out of Stanford, AAAAA. Anyone else enjoy the intensity of the Stanford A&M games, both of them? Both the offenses are so loaded that you feel like either side can erupt for, 7-8 runs at any time, that every hitter at the plate is in scoring position. I do. And it has added a level of intensity. Man, I didn't even get an SEC play for the most part. But then again, in SEC play, things are kind of bleak with Aggie baseball, but Hoover changed a lot of the vibe. I know immediately following the game, a lot of Aggies were depressed, doomed, and gloomed. But the fact that this Aggie baseball team is in position to win a Super, considering the year they even had, is pretty impressive. I don't know who the favorite is. I'm just being honest here. I don't know who has the advantage in this game. A&M's pitching is so wild card bad. They should have the advantage because, again, the extra game on Stanford. Stanford should be throwing their fifth starter. Nobody has a fifth starter. A&M should only be throwing their fourth. A&M can't get a quality start. No, three games, no starters went two innings in the Palo Alto Stanford Regional. Three games, no starters went two innings. I will say A&M would have an experience advantage because, you know, they have a core of players that went to Omaha last year. Stanford has hosted three straight regionals. They've advanced to six straight supers. No, they've hosted six straight regionals, advanced to three supers. Something's, they've got all the experience they need for a game like this too. You know, was it last year that Stanford lost to Texas State in their first game before they advanced onto a super? I mean, they got all the experience they need. Both teams are properly, mentally, organizationally challenged enough for a game like this. Learning to win is a process. I don't think there's any doubt. I've always believed that with all my heart. Now, before we head out the door, each hour I've been giving away one of the gift certificates to Gold Star Barber Studio. They are the no-wait, Barber Studio. This gift certificate is good for one free executive service at Gold Star Barber Service. What's an executive service? A men's haircut, a beard trim. You can get the hot towel treatment. I get the hot towel shave there when I want to treat myself, when I want to look that good. I like the no wait. You make your appointment at goldstarbarberstudio.com. There's three Gold Star Barber Studio locations in Bryan College Station. There's one in Caldwell now, too. But call now, caller 5 now on the Smoothie King hotline. This gift certificate's yours. It's good for, it's a $50 value. It's good for one free executive service at Gold Star Barber Studio. So if you'd like to win, if you'd like to look your best, therefore you can feel your best, you have a big event coming up, and you know you're going to do the full treatment, right? Call now, caller 5 now, 979-693-1150. I want to thank everyone that texted before we head out the door. It's been a great day for the Texas Mobile and Lube Express inbox. We've had text messages. Yeah, Aggie baseball has been the primary, but a variety of things have been shared and discussed. You know, we had our key two today, thanks to Griffin Locksmith, where they offer 24-hour emergency service. And today, you know, right, that the, you know, the key two had to be the key to beating Stanford tonight. I had timely hitting. I had Detmer going 4-5. I had no walks. I had Trevor Werner and Jace waking up. I got a lot. You know what it told me, what I kind of took away from all of the keys too, thanks to Griffin Locksmith? The Aggies have a lot of ways to win. They just can't fumble in so many ways. Like last night, you could say that the starting pitching bullpen and the defense faltered. You can't win many games that way. But there's so many ways they can win. So many. And then worry about Texas in the Super. I got to go. Beat the hell out of Stanford.